Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, we greet you with the joy of Jesus, and you have to believe and know and understand that you are blessed, that despite your situation, your circumstances, God has, is, and will continue to bless you. Again, we greet you with the joy, the happiness of God. This is your host, Willie J. Van Jr., bring you greetings from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., where Reconciliation Ministries Incorporated, also partnering up with the Omega Ministry Group. We are so grateful and so thankful that God has allowed us to come to this here wonderful Wednesday night of Blog Talk Radio. We thank God for each and every one of you that are here that will be listening live and those who will be listening to the rebroadcast. We are so grateful that God has allowed you to come and join us here this evening. We understand that prayer is one of the most powerful tools that we have. It is our opportunity, our right, our privilege, our duty to have a conversation with God. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see that he was in constant prayer with the Father. So who are we not to understand and come to a place where we have to continue to be in constant communication with our Father? So without further ado, why don't you join me in the Spirit as we pray to our Father. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you. Before we ask of anything, we just want to say thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to make it through another day. We thank you for allowing us to be able to come to this time where we can be your conduit, where we can share your word. I thank you, Lord God, for those who are listening live and those who are listening to the rebroadcast. I pray that you continue to have blessings upon your people. Lord God, allow this word to go forth with power, with authority, that it will change the lives of people, that people will walk away better than what they came in. Thank you for the stores and for all those who share on Blog Talk Radio. I thank you for those who are my co-hosts or other platform preachers or share the God's word. I pray that you continue to bless the stores and all their endeavors. Lord God, we pray that you continue to abide with us as we abide with you. Lord God, make your word plain for your people. I give you honor, I give you praise in the name of your Son, who is my Savior. His name is Jesus the Christ. We say amen, amen, and amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, we are so grateful for you. We are so grateful, and we ask that you will continue to come and support. We pray, Lord God, that during this time of study, if there is a question, if there's concern, if there's something that you would like to share, please, you can always press 1 and unmute your mic. For those who are listening to the rebroadcast, then you can always send me an email at jvan91@yahoo.com. Again, J-A-Y, V as in victory, A-N-N, 91@yahoo.com. And we will definitely respond to the question or comment or criticism. So tonight's lesson, as we launch, we will actually be launching from Psalm 139. Psalm 139. There are a couple of scriptures that I would like to read unto your hearing. We are going to start off with the NIV translation. And then, you know, I always enjoy going to the New Century Version, which is a different translation, but yet it's still the Word of God. Again, Psalm 139, we'll be reading 1 through 7, and then we will pick back up at the end of the psalm for verse 23 and 24. So again, Psalm 139, 139, starting at verse 1, the word of the Lord reads, "You have stretched me, Lord, you have searched me, Lord, you know me, you know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." Verse 4. "Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." In verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I fly from your presence?" And then we jump down to verse 23. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. There is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We thank God for his word and for his word and how he has blessed us. For subject, for a title, we want to rest upon this thought: no more dandelions. No more dandelions. I live here in the nation's capital of Washington, D.C., in the Northeast Corridor, and right across the street from my house, I happen to live on the corner house, and so I have a very nice sized yard in the front, in the side, and to the back of my house. I so happen to live across the street from a park, a national park, the aquatic gardens, and there are a lot of trees and a lot of grass and just a lot of wooded area. And so when I first bought the house, I noticed that there were a couple of dandelions in my yard. And as I continued to get someone to cut my grass, I mean it because I'm allergic to a lot of grass and a lot of ragweed. And so as I was getting people to cut my yard, they were leaving the clippings in my yard. And as they was leaving the clippings, I noticed every year I started having more dandelions, more sunflowers, some poison ivy, and other weeds. It seemed like everything was growing up besides grass. And in the last couple of years, I just got fed up with it. I just got tired. I found me a new lawn person, and I said, okay, I'm going to pay him, and I'm going to pay him a little bit more because he going to take up the lawn clippings. All the grass that's cut, he's going to take it and put it in the trash and haul it away. And so that would help. And I thought it would help at first, but it really didn't. And so this past year, I decided to get some professional help. I decided that I was going to get a company to come out and treat my yard and try to make sure that all the dandelions and all the sunflowers and all the other weeds that were choking out my grass, that were not allowing the grass to grow, I would have them come out and treat my yard. Also, I was having a lot of insects, a lot of bugs, a lot of stuff, gnats and insects and spiders and what have you. So this past year, I decided, you know, enough is enough. So I called this company. I don't want to get them free publicity, so I'm not going to tell you who they were. But they came out, and once a month, they came and would spray the yard. And before I knew it, there were no more dandelions. There was no more weeds. A lot of the insects and bugs were gone. And I thought about it, wow, I needed a professional to come out just to get rid of something that I had been trying to get rid of for a long time. Now, I tell you this story only to sort of paint a picture of how David must have felt during this time. David is the author of this psalm, this particular psalm. And if anybody has a study Bible, you see that the theme or the subject is that God is all-seeing and all-knowing, all-powerful. He's everywhere. And God is with us. But I thought about the fact that I had to get a professional to come and get rid of all the weeds. And when I look at this, I'm imagining that in reality, when I gave my life to Christ, that I was doing the same thing then as I just did on last year, that I could not get rid of sin, no matter how I tried, no matter what I could do, how I try to live, I could not get rid of sin. But I had to call in a professional. I had to call in someone who could deal with it, who knew about it, who can tell me what was the best things, and they could give me a formula, and or they could create, they had their own formula, and they came out and treat me. Or as the people came, they treated the lawn, and the lawn was better. And this year, I don't have any weeds. I don't have any dandelions, no bugs, and there's a lot more grass growing. Now, I say this again because when I think about our own lives, when we call on the name of Jesus, when we ask God to intercede in our lives, we're asking him to come and take something away from us that we couldn't get rid of ourselves. And it's only because of the process that God allowed Jesus to go through, not for his sins, but for our sins, is it that we are alive and doing well? When you look at the scripture, it starts off and David is saying, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my love, my going out and my laying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." And so David is making this proclamation, this statement, proclaiming that God knows us so well that he can even anticipate what we're going to do, what we're going to say, and what we're going to do. Now, the only reason why I could think that God would be able to have this power is that he would not be affected by what we call time, that the time that we travel in, that we live in, occupy this space in, that he's not affected by that time. He's not affected by the sun going up and the sun going down because he is the one who created the sun. He is the one who created us. And so because he is the all-knowing, the all-powerful, and because he is the great creator, then the things that affect us do not affect him. And the things that he can do, we might not be able to do all of them. But we can only do those things which he has poured into us or created us to be. And David is saying here in these first four verses of Psalm 139, that God knows us so well that no matter where we are, he's there. He's so familiar with us that he know our habits before we can even create them or call them habits. He's the one who is a great anticipator. And not only is he anticipating, he knows what we're going to do and what we're not going to do because of his power. It says in verse 5, "You hear me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me." Now let's read the the New Century Version of that same scripture. Again, you all know I enjoy reading the New Century Version. It gives modern twists on what we're reading. And why not for the fun of it? Let's read all. Let's read 1 through 7. It says, "Lord," or where we are, "Lord, you have examined me. You know all about me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You know my thoughts before I think them. You know where I go and where I lay down. You know everything I do. Lord, even before I say a word, you already know it. You are all around me, in front and in back, and have put your hand on me. Your knowledge is amazing to me. It is more than I can understand." So David is proclaiming the power and authority of who God is and what God is doing. David is saying, "God, you know me even better than I really know myself. Now, that shows a level of intimacy and knowledge David and God must have. Because how can you know somebody's habits if you are not around them? You know, one of the things that I was blessed to see when my dad was alive, that there were times that my stepmom could see him or look at him, or she could hear him and know that he wasn't feeling well, or there was something off about him. I mean, she could literally look at him and say, "What's wrong?" She could hear him. She used to tell me sometimes she could hear the way he breathes, and she knows that he might not have been feeling well. He might have had a cold or something was going on with him. And I said, "How could you know that?" And she said, "Because I know him." And so that's what David is saying about God. God knows us because he knows us and because he created us. And it is our responsibility to understand that we know that he knows about us. So there's no need for you to be faking in your prayers. I learned a long time ago, there's no need of hiding like Adam and Eve did in the garden. There's no need of hiding because of the fact that he created us. And because he created us, he knows us better than we even know ourselves. David says, isn't that amazing that your knowledge, your power, your authority is so overwhelming that I can't even fathom, I can't even think about what that is. What, how can you have such power and how can you have such authority? And I can only imagine because of the intimacy that David had with God. I mean, God did say that David was a man after his own heart. So you can't make that proclamation, that bold statement, if there isn't some sort of deep level connection. That there's some sort of intimacy, and I don't mean it in a sexual way, but I mean it in a way of knowing without a shadow of a doubt. And we understand that most couples, they get to this level of intimacy, or they ought to at least strive for this level of intimacy. But how many of us know that nobody can treat us better than Jesus? Nobody can treat us better than God. That there is no more better lover of my soul than God. And because he loves me so, I have to love him. I think this is a great place that we can take a pause. As always, we want to make sure that you go and drink your water, you go and drink your juice, your hot tea. It seems like winter is not completely over. It seems to come and go. It's a little chilly here in D.C., been raining all day, but nevertheless, I'm going to kick forward and try to get rid of these dandelions. Why don't you go get some water, and we'll be right back. Right, my brothers and sisters, you got to know that God wants it all. He wants all of you. So why don't you just stop fighting and give yourself all to him? As we're reading in Psalm 139, we've already read verses 1 through 7 and then we skip down to 23, but we understand that David is making this proclamation. He's proclaiming the fact that God is so wonderful and so awesome and so knowledgeable, so powerful, that he knows everything about me. As we read in verse 7 and actually verse 7, all the way kind of through verse 12, talks about this what we would call omnipresence or omnipotent or omnipresence. I'm correct the first time. I don't know why. Omnipresence of God, that God is here, there, and everywhere. And because of the fact that God can bless you and bless me all at the same time, and his spirit can be with you and his spirit can be with me at the same time, and we can be on polar opposite ends of the world, that doesn't lessen his authority and power in our lives. Then we jump down to verse 23. Again, we're in Psalm 139. And we jump down to verse 23, and let me read the New Century Version again. It says, God, examine me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any bad thing in me. Lead me on the road to everlasting life. Now, David is giving God permission to search him. Now, the interesting thing is God doesn't need our permission per se to do whatever he wants to do in our lives. But because God wants us to worship him, to praise him freely, he does not force his will upon us. And we have to then make the choice, and we have to make the decision and give up the authority to God so that he can work in our lives. See, again, I've been here at my house for a very long time, and it wasn't until I decided that enough is enough, that I was gonna call a professional and get them to fix my lawn. It's the same thing in your own life. You can go out and live any old kind of way you want to live, but there will come a time that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. I don't know when it was in your life. I can tell you in my life, I decided, you know what, God? You can have it. Matter of fact, not that only you can have it, but you have to take it. Because I can no longer continue to deal with these things, these sins, that I say that I could get rid of, but in reality, I can't. Now, I could have went out and probably took care of my lawn and did my lawn and worked it. Always going to come a time where you realize that you can't do it. And you got to call in somebody that knows what they're doing. So it is with our lives. Each and every day that we rise up, we ought to be saying and proclaiming to God, God, today I live for you. God, today I need you to work it out in my life. God, today I need you to search my heart, my soul. Anything that is not like you, I need you to take it out. Anything that will cause me to miss the mark, anything in my thoughts or in my deeds. I give it all to you. If there's anything. And then not only take it away, but make sure that I'm back where I need to be. And I don't know about you, but there's been some days that I didn't make that proclaim. I didn't make that proclamation. I try to do it my way. And it wasn't until I came back to my right senses. Because we all do it. We all get to a place where we think we can do it ourselves because of the amount of money we make, because of the degrees we have, because of the position that we have, that we can do it all ourselves. But it's always going to come to a place in our lives where we say, we just can't do it. I can't handle these dandelions anymore. I need to call a professional. And there's no greater professional than God. Allowing his spirit take out anything and then replace it. And the great thing about it is that God is always sharing with us and telling us that he's there for us. Now, if you don't believe me, you can go to Romans, the 8th chapter. You probably heard this a million and one times. Starting at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a wonderful promise to have. That once we acknowledge we have a problem, and once we acknowledge the fact that we have to get help and get a professional to do what we couldn't do, to know that that professional is never going to leave us. Now, I have a contract with my professional to treat my yard. If I don't decide to pay them, then my contract is broken. The wonderful thing is there's nothing I could do nor say that will break this contract with God. And as we said, there is nothing that can separate me from his love. So we have to continue to realize that we can't get rid of the dandelions, but only God can. And when we allow him that access in our lives, and to our lives. How much better our lives will be. Pray. We thank you, Lord God, for this time of study. We know that, Lord God, there is, that you are, first of all, everywhere, that you know us better than we know ourselves. And Lord God, I'm so appreciative that you have allowed your Holy Spirit to rule and govern my life. Lord God, I ask not just for me, but for all those who are listening, that you will each and every day continue to search us, search our hearts and our souls and our minds, our bodies. And if there's anything that is unlike you or displeasing to you, Lord God, you take it away. We thank you, Lord God, for knowing that even if we don't get it right, you will still love us. You will still take care of us. You will still continue to work in our lives. Oh God, we thank you for knowing that there is nothing that can separate us from your love. Lord God, again, continue to work in our lives. Continue to do those things that will bring, allow us that will do, to do those things that will bring you honor and bring you praise. And that others can see what you've done for us, you can do for them. In the name of your Son, who is our Savior's name is Jesus the Christ, we say amen and amen. And see, yeah, that's the thing that I want to close out with. My neighbor came, my next door neighbor, said, "Jay, I see your yard is looking a lot better, man. What did you do?" And I said, "Well, I got one professional to come and cut my yard and take away. And then I got another that came and he watered and got rid of the bugs and the weeds. And man, the other professional, he just blessing me." He said, "Who's that?" I was like, "Man, that's God." He said, "Oh, wow, okay." When you have stuff, or when your life is going well, or when you're looking prosperous, people will be looking. And they'll want to know, what did you do, and how can I get that? And we have to go ahead and teach and show and tell everybody. It wasn't me, but it's the God in me. So, my brothers and sisters, we are so grateful and so thankful that you have decided to come and be with us again. I just want to say to you, please tune in to this broadcast, and you can call back into this number as there are other men and women who share the word of God. On every Monday night, we have Dr. Jesse Storr with his wife, Minister Tammy Storr, from 8 to 9, and they share about oneness, about marriage, ministry, and just how to be in a great relationship with each other. Then you have Minister Leah Killings, who comes on after them at 9 o'clock from 9 to 10. And then it's yours truly every Wednesday night from 8 to 9. And then you have Elder Jason Felix that comes on right after me from 9 to 10. Then on every Thursday night from 8 to 9, you have Bishop George Flint. And then on every Sunday night from 6 to 7, you have Minister Amos Joseph Collins. We are all here to share with you and be a conduit for God and to know and to share that God is blessing and doing it for us. As always, peace and love, Willie J. Vann Jr.
I give myself away. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them. Here I am.
Here I am. give myself to you.